Peace and love. Peace and love, everyone. Welcome back to the Universal Love Movement. This is your host, Dr. Carl S. Moore. And today we're basking in the positivity of plenty of opportunities that are around us to just, you know, feel good and love ourselves and love all those around us. So, you know, this episode today, where it's, the name of it is Positive Intelligence. And I really have to just start very first and foremost by, you know, proper attribution. Now, when it comes to positive intelligence, this term has been coined by a very, you know, amazing human being. And his name is Shahzad Shamin. And I think he's University of Stanford, I believe. I'm not sure exactly where he's at now, but he has wrote this book, Positive Intelligence, and I read it in 2018. And one of my colleagues actually told me about it because I was telling him that how I look at life is, you know, kind of framing like a creator mentality, right? I used to teach a freshman seminar class in college. And when my early years, you know, working in the academy for you know, new freshmen, et cetera. And it was a lot of study skills and things of that sort. But what I learned from the book On Course by Skip Downing that I was using for these students, I was learning for myself as well. You know, I was really trying to apply it and really trying to I used to take everything, and I still do, but it was a lot more self-development, leadership, because studying leadership in grad school and, you know, a lot of the, you know, social theory that I was studying, I was applying it to my life, you know. But when it comes to positive intelligence, back then we were referring to it as the victim or creator, right? So I would have a student, you know, meeting with me, and we would use it because the students that were in my class were also my, you know, in my caseload of advisees. And they would say, you know what, my roommate is this, this, and that. So like, okay, are we going to be a victim or a creator about that? You know, so then we would just turn on, like, the creator mode was like a way of making solutions and kind of forging new possibilities from whatever the stimulus was, right? And it was pretty great. You know, it helped me a lot as well. I remember one of my students actually, he had came in and there was something happening in the office, and he's like, okay, he used to call me Mr. Moore or whatever, but okay, Mr. Moore, you're going to do are you going to do a victim or a creator? So it's wonderful when you teach, you know, folks stuff. And because even like I teach my daughter some of these things now, and she always challenges me, which is great. So positive intelligence, it takes it to another level. I think that's what Chris Rock would say, another level, because you have constructs like, you know, victim creator. You also have like growth mindset. And then you also have a lot of positive psychology out there, right? Teaches us what happens with our brain in terms of how we think, and then even like the gray matter in our brain, et cetera, when we're thinking positively or when we think about creative outcomes. But positive intelligence is, I remember that when I was reading the stuff on it, someone said it's a brilliant breakthrough. And it's true, you know. So I'll just jump into kind of describing it a little bit for you. You can, of course, go to positiveintelligence.com. Usually I don't endorse anything in such a way. But it really is another intelligence. So, you know, you have emotional intelligence that, and you, some of you may know about that, where, you know, it's how much one can be aware of, regulate, and manage their emotions in order to achieve outcomes. It's not saying don't have emotions, right? And that's just like saying positive intelligence isn't saying that. It's not like bad, well, not, we won't say bad. Think unfavorable things don't exist. But how do we, I think the way to sum it up in a sentence is, what is your mental fitness towards, or an ability towards, turning any thing that happens to you into something that is the best thing that happens for you. Because I remember reading in the book, and I think it's in the first chapter, he had mentioned when working with some corporations and businesses, because he's worked with like thousands of executives, he had mentioned that his question to them is, hey, how can we turn this to the best thing that has ever happened to you? You know, when someone comes into him with like an issue or something like that, it's not like he doesn't respond with compassion and honor, you know, whatever it is. And even allowing for, even if it's something with grief, allowing for that moment of grief, but then saying, hey, how can this be the best thing that ever happened to you? You know, how can you translate it or transmute it? And I remember learning about alchemy when I was a youngster. And learning about alchemy when I was a youngster is, you know, I was like, oh my gosh, I want to grow up and turn powder, iridium into gold, and, you know, powder into, or dip one substance into another. And I do believe, you know, the possibility of alchemy in that way. But I, in my older age here, I'll say that I've discovered that the best type of alchemy is mental alchemy, right? And that's transmuting or transforming something into something else, right? Something that seems categorically unfavorable into the best thing ever happened to you. Now, although I was very motivated to do that, right? You know, and I didn't realize the process that I went through to learn how to do it, right? So it's kind of one of those things of like, anybody that's like, you know, like if he's like Jordan, great basketball player, you say, hey, I don't know how I do it. But then he doesn't think about all of the times that he was out shooting, you know, after dark when he was a youngster. And I remember growing up, you know, being a, you know, second youngest, and, you know, the home life was, you know, I had a great upbringing, but at times there were certain things that I had to frame positively. So they, and it was multiple, you know, a wealth of those things, even into my young teenage and adult years. And it really did help me work on my muscles to really just kind of shape things, you know, constructively. But in any case, when it comes to this, we all have the capacity. It's just a matter of whether we have been exercising those muscles or not. So he talks about, you know, mental fitness in his book, core muscles, and exercising those muscles. Now, the muscles for me, I used to think it's just thinking positively. But when he, you know, thinks about, you know, the mental fitness, is about his the mental fitness relative to mental stress. And that comes through things like, you know, what in a contemplative field, they would say, you know, contemplative moments or mindfulness or, you know, what was interesting about what this positive intelligence discusses is it discusses the ways, it offers the ways in which we can be mentally fit to deal with all of the different stimuli that come from the outside in a way that is not like you have to sit on your bed with your eyes closed for, you know, 2 hours or 10 minutes or whatever. It's just like maybe even like 10 seconds of rubbing your fingers together and feeling the sensation, or, you know, 2 minutes of just kind of listening to the sounds around you, or a minute or two of like looking at whatever you're looking at in intense detail. So all of these having been proven to show that the brain, you know, really operates in a more, you know, a healthier way, I guess I would say, not to get all technical. So positive intelligence is recognizes that mental, this is a quote from his website. I remember it said, mental fitness is a measure of the strength of your positive mental muscles versus negative muscle, not muscles. And with positive, he talks about them as like, you know, you have these sage powers, right? And these sage powers are, and I may forget some of them right now, but they are one's ability to navigate, you know, one's ability to, you know, innovate, to empathize, you know, those types of things, right? So whenever faced with a stimulus, it's kind of like leaning into those abilities, you know? And there are, like, you know, every good story has like, you know, villains and protagonists and antagonists. But the antagonists are, you know, is like you're not your sage, but the judge, like how you judge yourself and judge other people. And these are the judges are led by the supervillain, the saboteur, right? The judge is the leader of the saboteurs, which are kind of like the judge's henchmen, right? The judge and you. And that's you judging yourself negatively, judging other people negatively. So the goal is to like expose your judge's lies, right? And reveal the ways in which your judge has impact on you and others around you. So you want to kind of like, you know, intercept those saboteurs. And what's funny is I was actually teaching my daughter about this. With her, I call them the sabbies. It's like, hey, you know, if you're being like this, being mean or judgy or what have you, the sabbies like that. And, you know, her and I, it's like a little bit of a game. I'm like, is that one of the sabbies talking? So it's not her. It's like her inner judge. We all have an inner judge. It starts early. And as Shazard says, you know, you can even have a great upbringing and these judges come, you know, come up. But, you know, it doesn't matter. We go through life and everyone has a judge that's developing. But in many cases, the judges come as protective mechanisms, kind of like an emotional cast that goes over us so that we can move through life in a way that is self-protecting, right? But just that when you become an adult, imagine having that same cast on as when you were like 5 years old. You know, if you fell off a bike, how the atrophy in that muscle would have you, right? So this idea of the judge leading the henchmen of the saboteurs, these saboteurs being like a person's tendency to be an avoider, a controller, a hyperachiever, a hyper-rational, hyper-vigilant pleaser, a restless person, a stickler, a victim. Those are things that sabotage our success. And we all have this within us, right? So, you know, you make them these like villains and, you know, so that it can seem like for entertainment purposes. But then the ways in which you intercept them is to, you know, channel your sage powers, right, to come in. So these are, you know, ways that you're going to be able to come in and think about the ways in which you can, you know, empathize with people, right? Innovate to come up with a different solution for whatever the situation is. Explore some of the possibilities, kind of navigate really what's going on, activate to actually do something. So those type of, so it's a really awesome book, and it's a really awesome training that I'm currently in, coaching training for the, it was a grant for, it's like thousands of us on this, in this training. So it's just pretty awesome. And I really do think we need it at this moment in time, because positive intelligence is something that I feel is not always readily appreciated, because we think there's something noble in feeling negative or, you know, just shooting straight and telling it like it is. And the great thing about positive intelligence is that you recognize what is there, but you just choose to, and as I usually say, assign value, positive value, and look for an opportunity for it to create a constructive or inform a constructive reality, right? Versus one that's going to inform more of a negative judgmental reality, because no one wins in, you know, that kind of reality. It's like we're judging ourselves, we're judging others, and we're not building and being creative. And our brain literally doesn't work as well. I remember when I was reading his book and he had mentioned, and this made me feel great, because I remember grieving my mother's transition and then saying, hey, this is going to be the best thing that ever happened to me. And it has transformed me in a number of ways since 2017. But I felt like the support around doing that and recognizing the issue around the way in which it was recognized, sometimes it's met with, okay, well, everybody grieves in their own way, kind of like judgmental, as if like, oh, you'll break down later. But I definitely realize even more now how I was able to use that as an opportunity after grieving, to kind of make it as the best thing ever happened to me. Just like my current knee injury, which is another episode, which is going to be one of the greatest things that's happened to me. It's like the one of the worst injuries I've, where I guess the most intense injuries I've had. We'll say it like that. So in closing, I'll say that he had mentioned that when he meets and coaches people, and this is similar to me, I say it a little different, but when he coaches folks, he said, they say they bring in whatever pain or whatever they're going through, and he'll respond with empathy and compassion, just similar to what I do. Then he said, what he says is that to the folks is that, please realize that all the suffering that is coming from this whatever is 100% self-generated. And I never have said that to a person like that. I've kind of like always, you know, searched and, you know, for ways in which we could turn it into, while recognizing that person's agency. But him saying it in such a way was pretty, impactful in terms of just recognizing how our love for ourselves and the ways in which we love ourselves, the universal love movement, so we can love all those around us is really in our hands. But yeah, so just a little bit of a little brief summary on positive intelligence. I'm in this training right now, and I'm reading the book again, and yeah, I'm just really excited. So positiveintelligence.com, you know, I mentioned victim and creator in here. I also mentioned the, you know, of course, growth mindset. You know, there's tons of, you know, positive psychology, neuropsychology, emotional intelligence all framed in the Positive Intelligence book. So I strongly recommend reading. It's like one of the best books since The Seven Habits I've read. I mean, I've read lots of in between, but those real great self-help books. All right. Love and light. Have a wonderful day.